The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shal elyon to the priests and servants of the Most High God. Peace be unto you, and may the Lord pour out his knowledge upon you about his word, that you may grab hold of it and put it in the deep into the marrows of your bone and the deep recesses of your brain, the corners of your mind, to be recalled anytime you shall need them, to be recalled for fulfillment of scriptures, when you are down and you're trying to learn more about God, when you're trying to find truth that you may learn more about God. God's word is so important. You know, all these other things that happen at a church, whatever, you know, those are just little tidbits of things that can make it a fun, exciting. But God's word is the most important thing. And, you know, and the churches just don't spend enough time teaching and talking about God's word. That is the manna from heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. Oh, I'm a New Testament church. Sorry to hear that. I'm an Old and New Testament believer. All these things are for our edification and comfort, and we need to learn them both, old and new. If you're just a New Testament church, you are missing out on things of God. How can you even understand the New Testament if you don't know the Old Testament? You know, the Old Testament is the sure way of God, and then the New Testament revealed the spiritual things of God. So how can you possibly understand all that God wants you to have when you claim, I'm just a New Testament believer? You need both. You got to have both. That Old Testament's the foundation. The new is the new revelation spiritually that you need to add to it. You need both to be able to do this. Amen. So we've been talking about the peace of God and the things dealing with the peace of God. And last week we talked about what Leviticus 7 was saying about the peace offerings. Lord, how you have to, when you offer a peace offering, you have to offer unleavened and leavened bread with it. And of course, leavened bread represents sinfulness. Unleavened bread represents righteousness. And so that's an indication that Yeshua is the unleavened bread and we are the leavened bread. But when it's offered together, it becomes unleavened for us too. That's the Apostle Paul said, you are unleavened. You are the righteousness of God. We are made the righteousness of God because of Yeshua. Because of the blood he shed upon that execution stake, he made us righteous. Not by our own deeds, not by our own works, not by our own wishes. That's another teaching I'm getting ready to teach now called the hope of God. There's a difference between godly hope and worldly hope. And a lot of people have worldly hope. You know, it's like wishful thinking. Or, you know, oh, I hope, you know, well, I hope the Cardinals win this week. You know, that's worldly hope. That's not godly hope. And I'll be talking about godly hope at the message at the congregation. We need godly hope. And a godly hope comes by faith, and it comes by understanding the Word of God, and then our hope builds in us, and we are, and hope creates an expectation and a patience for the fulfillment of God's Word that he said he was going to do. And that's very important for us. When we talked about the peace offering, we talked about how you had 2 days to eat of the peace offering. And on if you wait till the third day, then it doesn't work for you. You shall bear your own iniquity, and your offering will not be accepted on the third day. And like I said, looking at it spiritually, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So it basically is saying that you got 2,000 years since the peace offering to accept him, and on the third day it's too late. Well, when Yeshua died around 30 A.D., that was the countdown right there. When he died on 30 A.D., you have 2,000 years to partake of him. And we are still in that second day with not much left of it. We got 7 years left of the second day. On the third day, it would become a sin to you. It's like I said before, people say, well, when that happens, I'll believe. It could be too late. It could be late. You could look up when the sign of the Son of Man appears in the heavens, and you go, oh, I believe now. Too late. It's too late. So on the morning of the third day and throughout the scriptures, the morning of the third day is a very prominent teaching. If you got a Strong's, whatever, you should look up the third day. Look at all the scriptures involved in the third day. That will really give you a good understanding about when he's coming back. And that time is very, very close. Very close indeed. And so on the third day, it's too late to say I believe now. And so it's like a yellow warning light flashing right now. And before long, that light's going to be red. And when that happens, there is no more salvation for anybody. Now, I can't say that because God determines that. You know, I can't determine that. God determines that. But he's warning us. We got 2 days. And on the third day, it's too late. We got 2 days, 2,000 years. So we're going to move on, talking about the peace offering now. We're going to go to Leviticus 7, verse 19. Leviticus 7, verse 19. And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. As for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. So in other words, it's saying here that any flesh that touches anything unclean shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. As for the flesh, all that be clean shall you eat. So in other words, that which is clean you shall eat, that which is not clean you shall not eat. But you look at verse 20, it says, but the soul eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that pertained to the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from the people. What this is saying, that if you become unclean, you will be cut off from the people. And so this is really critical to understand this concept. We don't want to just blow it off too quick here. Let's look at verse 21. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, that soul that pertained to the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Cut off from his people, that means to die. You know, the wages of sin is death, is what the scripture says. And so let's look at this a little bit closer. What are we talking about here? All right, so it's talking about that once you are saved and you continue to eat of that which is unclean or do that which is unclean, you can be cut off from the Lord and from his people. Kind of critical, you know, as well, you know. I don't want to believe that. You know, the Lord forgave me my sins. I'm just going to be able to continue to do whatever I want to do. No, you cannot. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. Let's hold your spot to Leviticus 7, and let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to talk about the New Covenant Passover or communion. So we'll start with verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. So Paul is saying here, I received of the Lord, which I am now given unto you. Let's talk about Paul for a moment here. Paul may or may not have been a prophet, obviously not a major prophet. But one thing Paul did have was complete understanding of God's word in the Spirit. Paul had a great anointing of the Holy Spirit to interpret the things of the scripture correctly. This is why it's important to understand what Paul is saying here. Then he goes on to say in verse 23 that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Right, most people don't have a problem with that. When you do the communion, it's in remembrance of what the Lord did for you. But we've got to continue here. Verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come." The reason I want to make a real emphasize this in chapter 11 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is that it's directly related to the scriptures we read earlier in Leviticus 7. So we'll get back to that. So, verse 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread," talking about the bread representing his flesh, "and drink this cup," the cup representing his blood, "unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Well, that's interesting. So when you take communion, when you eat of the peace offering, this is all it's saying in 27, when you eat of the peace offering that Leviticus 7 was talking about, and you do it unworthily, you shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So we have to examine ourselves before we take communion, before you take New Covenant Passover. You have to examine yourself. Am I getting ready to eat this bread and this cup without examination of my own self, my own spiritual walk, understanding my own sins? What happens if you do have sins? It comes to your mind and you're thinking that I got sins. Then you better ask forgiveness and ask the Lord to cleanse you. It's as simple as that. It's not doomsday. Just call on the Lord to cleanse you from your iniquities and ask for forgiveness of anything you've done. The Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's what the scripture says. But if you do it without asking for forgiveness of sins, it could be, you know, hazardous. So we have to examine ourselves. Then we go to verse 29. "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We are required to discern the Lord's body. So when you eat and take and drink of the Lord's flesh and blood symbolisms, it's not real flesh, it's not real blood, it's all about symbolism of the peace offering. And so when you do it unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. Wow. This might bring a new light to having communion people never thought about before. When you eat the peace offering, which is what we're doing here with communion, you are partaking of the peace offering of Leviticus 7. And that's what it also says in Leviticus 7, that, you know, that if you eat of the flesh, it says in Leviticus 7, verse 20, "But the soul that eats of the flesh of the peace offering that pertaineth unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from the people." So if you eat of the communion with your uncleanness upon you, you shall be cut off. In other words, you will die. And so, like I said earlier, if you got uncleanness on you, ask for forgiveness first before you take of the Lord's communion, and mean it with your heart. All right. That's why it says, verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." In other words, you die. Why does he use the word sleep? Because, you know, anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So these are people that are saved, but the Lord's going to judge them because of the wickedness in their heart. They're not going to go to hell, but he's going to do them in for their sluffleness and their wickedness. He's going to do them in. And many become weak and sickly. Verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Verse 32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you not come into condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. These are the words of the Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians. So it goes right back to, with Leviticus 7 that we were talking about. You cannot continue wickedness without forgiveness of sins and then expect Yeshua to take care of business. You have to call upon him. Anytime you sin, you have to call upon him for forgiveness of sin. Well, that's no different from what it's saying here in the scriptures. You will be cut off from your people. When the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and you still, when you go to partake of that, which is communion, you continue that with wickedness in your heart, God will do judgment against you. And it's very important for us to understand that. Judgment will come against you. So, the ties to Leviticus 7 and communion is extremely important. And so, people that, you know, my congregation, we do communion once a month because we want people to think about what they're doing and to contemplate on it, what they're doing. I don't want it to become a rote thing where you just come up and do it without examining yourself like the scripture says. Examine yourself. We have to examine ourselves first before we partake of it because there is major consequences if we don't. Unfortunately, today, a lot of people treat communion as just like, oh, another ritual that we got to get through, and let's get done with it so we can move on to something else. Understand, it's the body and the blood symbolism of the Messiah. And if we do it unworthily, we pay the consequences. If we don't examine ourselves, we pay the consequences. This is the same thing Leviticus 7 is saying as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Same thing. This is where Paul got the idea, Leviticus 7. He didn't suddenly just come up with something. He understood Leviticus 7 and understand how to relate it to the Lord's Supper. Very important that we do the same thing. So, didn't say they're going to go to hell. It just says they're going to be cut off from their people. They die early. They die too soon. The Lord doesn't want that to happen. So this is why these things are very important for us to understand and be able to put it together with great understanding of God's word. So that's, you know, part of the peace offering concept for us to understand. So we will continue talking about, you know, the peace offering with the Lord. It's like 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's what I'll say it again. You sinners saying that you take the Lord's communion unworthily and you got fellowship with him is what happens on communion. You actually got fellowship with him. And we do it. We walk in darkness and we don't practice righteousness with him. Do we practice the truth? The Lord's Supper? We cannot eat of it if we have unconfessed sins in our lives. 1 John 1:6 tells us that. So if you're of the mindset that you don't have to worry about anything anymore, you're forgiven of your sins, well, that might be true far as staying out of hell, but it does not stay true for having the fellowship with God like you should. I get several people in my office, it seems like every year, that says, I just don't have the peace of God anymore. I just don't feel right with God. And the first thing I said, well, what did you do against him? Oh, I didn't do anything. I don't know what you mean by that. Yeah, you did. You did. If you don't have peace of God in your heart anymore, you did something you weren't supposed to do. And so these people struggle with that. And finally, before we ever get done talking, they'll finally admit something they did, something they weren't supposed to do. How do I know that? Because if you don't have the peace of God, it's because fellowship has been broken between you and God. And if that fellowship can only be broken if you've done things unworthily before him. So when they tell me that, I know they did something. They can sit there and deny it all they want. Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do anything. I don't know why God's got this against me. I didn't do anything. I just say, baloney. That big Hebrew word in the sky, baloney. You did something. Just confess that now, and then the peace of God will come back upon you. Eventually they will, and through a lot of tears and confession, things start coming out, and next thing you know, they feel the peace of God come back on them, and they confess it, and they ask for forgiveness of sin. That's why it's so important. We have to ask ourselves, do we have the peace of God in our heart? Do we have the peace of God living with us? Can we honestly say, I have the peace of God? Peace is flowing like a river, like the scriptures say. Does peace flow like a river through your heart and through your mind and through your soul? What do I mean by your soul? It's not really your spirit. You're a living soul because the spirit is in you. But the soul is really talking about your thoughts and your process and your emotions and all that. But the spirit gives that to you and you become a living soul. Man is not a trinity. You don't have soul, spirit, and flesh. You got spirit and flesh, but the spirit caused you to become a living soul. But when you die, that soul goes away. The spirit remains. The flesh will decay away. And there's not some separate place for the soul to go to. It's only spirit and flesh. And so it's important for us to understand these things and to realize what we need to do to have a right relationship with our God. In Leviticus 7, verses 30, it says, our own hands shall bring offering before the Lord. You are responsible yourself for the things before God. You cannot blame anyone else. You cannot say, the devil made me do it. That will never work. You can't say, well, my parents made me do it because of this, because of that, or, you know, some other person made me do it. You are responsible to bring your own peace offering before the Lord. Again, Leviticus 7, verse 30. You cannot blame anybody else or try to put that responsibility on anybody else. It only comes through your own hands. Romans 5:1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified by faith, so we have that foundation laid for us. And so we got to examine ourselves and approach Him with a worthy heart anytime we're taking communion, anytime we're asking for forgiveness of sin. These things are very important. Leviticus 19:5 says, you offer the peace offering at your own will. You don't rely on somebody else. Husbands don't rely on the wives. Wives don't rely on the husbands. We have to offer it at our own will. This is a willful offering. We're not robots. God gives us a will, and we got to offer it with our own will. This is very important concepts. That's why it says in the Aaronic benediction of Numbers 6, verse 26, at the end of it, it goes, and the Lord give you peace. So his face shines down upon you and he keeps you and you're able to approach his countenance and his face is lifted up before you, then he will give you peace. But if you have wickedness in your heart, you will never be able to approach the Lord anyway. So you want that peace and you're missing that peace of God, well then you need to sit down and talk with him in a very serious manner. Repent of your sins, stop doing bad that you're doing, and call upon him and he will give you the peace that passes all understanding, a peace the world cannot have and the world cannot know. These are the promises. I will give peace in the land, none shall make you afraid. I'll get rid of the evil beasts and the sword that's in the land. And you can apply that spiritually however you want in your life. Peace will come. So God bless everybody. May the peace of God dwell in your hearts and minds and in the very marrow of your bones and deep recesses of your mind. God bless everybody. Talk to you later.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.